Our Bible reading is taken from Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9, and Matthew 22, 34 to 40. I will take it. Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9. I read. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. In Matthew 22:34-40. I read. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. I have the honor of welcoming our brother, Dr. Michael Onimole. That's my best effort to the microphone to give us the sermon. Please, what is my score? Did I get, what's my score? I'm pronouncing the name.
He almost broke his teeth. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. My name is Michael Onimole, the bearer of light. You know, in Lagos, we have the Onimole family, which is a chieftaincy family. And Onimole just simply means the bearer of the idol. And that family name, by God's grace, the Lord delivered us from it. So, and being called to bear the gospel of Jesus Christ, I couldn't have that name following me everywhere. It will be a contravention. So, Onimole, bearer of light, by God's grace. My wife is here with me. Can you stand up? Okay. And we came in the day before yesterday from Mina through Abuja. And we thank God. We came from the heat to the cooler part of Lagos. I know Lagos is shouting. You have not seen heat. So, well, we thank God. I can see quite a number of faces, and I thank God to see your faces here. Brother Dennis, God bless you. Good to see you. Yes. And so we are grateful to be here. It's a privilege. We thank God for the partnership with VFC over the past more than 25 years. And we thank God that God has kept us and this relationship. And we pray that the Lord will continue to prosper his work and also prosper VFC. This morning, I've been asked to begin the series in this quarter, which the theme being returning to our first love. You know, it gives you the impression of the love between two people. And when that love is strong, usually at the beginning, it's like sweet wine. And as Jesus said in John 2, it is usual that at the beginning, he said, men give out the better wine. But later, when everybody has drunk, they bring out the worst. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you and are very grateful for granting us this privilege, Lord, to share your word and to point us back to our first love and to learn how to love you supremely, to love you with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our minds. To love you with everything. May that be our case in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Speak to us, Lord. I need strength. I need wisdom. May I not say anything that will turn your people away from the truth in these dangerous days. Help us, Lord, to know the truth that sets men free. In Jesus' name we prayed. I thank God again for this privilege, and I pray that God will help us, because we are living in dangerous times. When we read Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us that we should make use of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. And if there are evil days at any time, it's now. All kinds of terrible things are happening in our country. Insecurity, corruption, immorality at its worst, idolatry. Even amongst the church members, terrible things are happening. Things you should not hear of are happening. Whether in the city or in the village, they are happening. But God says in that verse, says, therefore, do not be unwise. Verse 17, but know what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of God for us at this time concerning this theme? What is God saying? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I command you shall be in your heart. If I put it another way, the way we use it in faith-based counseling, love God with all your will, love God with all your mind, love God with all your emotion. Everything. Willfully love God. Mindfully love God. With every of your emotion, love God. When God gave this command, as Moses said, I have been commanded to teach you so that you can observe it. This was in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And God, having brought them out of bondage, and in the Bible study, one somebody said, yes, they were coming from a land where they were used to a pantheon of gods. They had all kinds of gods. Fertility gods, gods for sowing and reaping and all kinds of things. In fact, if you watch the Ten Commandments film, you notice that little boy who was, he had a small golden calf with him that he collected from somebody. And of course, that became the prototype that was used to build a calf god for them in the wilderness. So God was emphasizing the fact that, look, from now on, you must worship only me, Jehovah God. And that message for them at that time is relevant today. Because to be honest with you, we have many gods. Some politicians have become gods. Hello? Some of us fight for them and protect them. Some families, family heads have become gods. In some families, either the father or mother have made themselves gods. And in some institutions, I remember somebody was sharing with me some time ago that where she was working, the chief executive had created a core of people, and you had to every month spend time, they gather in his house, and they became more like a cult. And so if you wanted to rise, you need to join that cult. And the chief executive, as it were, was now like a god. You had to go and bow. And it's happening in many offices. In some churches, it's like that. Some of our heads of churches that have become personal properties. The other day we were in a service and the pastor was preaching and talking and sharing, and we were thanking God. Then he started saying, my wife said, what is going on? He started saying, prophecy, you have to hear what Papa says, what Papa has said, what Papa is doing. And these things have been blessed by Papa. So, in fact, the Holy Communion we were to take that day, I refused to take it. Because the impression was that it is what Papa has blessed. It was no more a fellowship meal. So we find this happening, and God is saying to us today, hear what you are being taught. You shall love the Lord your God. Him only you shall serve. Why? You know, I like little children. When they get to 12, 13, and they begin to get wise, when you say anything, what's the question they ask? Why? So there are two things we will do this morning. Why must we love God? How shall we love Him? Why must we love God? Because God is love, and He has said we should love Him. He is our God, He is our Father. He is the essence of love. John 4, it says, God is love. Who is God? He is love, the expression of love. One writer said, love is a feeling to be learned. It's not just a feeling emotionally. It's a willful feeling. You will to love. I'm one of those fortunate men who has, even though I'm on the pulpit, have experienced two wives. My late wife, who departed this life 31st of October 2016, a beautiful woman, a lovely woman. And one of my friends accused me, said, you are always looking for fine women. I said, thank God. God loves me. That's why He gives me fine women. But that's not the issue. I told her then, I said, do you know, B, I love you not because you are beautiful. If it was because of your beauty, you know, now you are growing older, and that beauty is fading. I love because I will fully love you. My present wife, she's also beautiful, very beautiful. But you know, I knew her when she was 14 years old or 16. And I've seen her grow older. And by the time we got married, she was 65. By then, it's not the same thing. But God said, this is the one. Go ahead, marry her. I love her. Not because of what I thought I knew then, but because of what God has given me the will to love. We love God because He has asked us to love Him willfully, mindfully, with your senses. After we got married, I saw some things I didn't ever think I would meet. Hello? Isn't it so? I can't tell you the story. But I had to now, with my korokoro, I shined my eyes to love, to say, I love you. And she too shined her eyes to love me. She told me one day, she said, if not for God that told me to come, I would have just packed my things quietly and go. When you love the way God says, your heart knows, your mind knows, and then your emotion will follow. God is saying we should love Him with our minds. We should reason why we love Him. We should willfully agree, commit ourselves to love Him. Then, do you know, our emotions will follow. And my prayer is that by the end of this word that God is sending to us, we would learn to love Him willfully, mindfully and emotionally. So, why? He says he is God. He is love. And he demonstrated his love. He said, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. God knew. Koro, he knew. These are sinners. Rebels. Disobedient. And yet the Bible says he loved us. What kind of love? He loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son. He was willing to give the only thing he had, his son. He gave him to us and we killed him. We hung him on a cross like, I say in Hausa, kamangafia. You know when you want to roast, bush meat. You know, you stake it out and then you hang it by the fire. We hung him as if he was being roasted by the sun. That's what we did to the Son of God. That was our response to this loving God. But you know, it didn't stop him from continuing to love us. So when he says we should love him, he knows that when we commit ourselves to loving him the way he has loved us, we will encounter problems. You know, the same thing happened to the children of Israel. When they were to follow God through the wilderness, do you know they had problems? They suffered hunger. They suffered thirst. In fact, they had hardly started their journey when the Amalekites came and attacked them. So problems started. But God still expected them to do what? To keep loving and following him. And I want to say this. If we would love God and follow him and serve him, it won't stop us from having problems. We will face problems. We will face challenges. And as we are facing them in Nigeria, it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. He loves Nigerians. I think more than any other nation. Amen? It was Dr. Chris Kolade who said something. And when he was sharing with us at a point, he said, he asked God a question. He said, God, you said you love me. And the Lord said, yes. And you love me so much. He said, yes. He said, why did you put me in Nigeria? Of all the countries in the world, why Nigeria? You didn't put me in the U.S. You didn't let me be born in America or in U.K. or any other country. Why in this place? He said that time he asked God that question, we had had 3 governments in 1 year. You remember that time? Babangida, Shonekan, and then who? Abacha. All in 1 year. Say, what kind of country is this that you put me? That there is so much instability and all kinds of terrible things. Say, God asked him a question. Say, if you have a house and you value that house so much, would you allow it to be vandalized by anybody? He said, no. He said, now, I love you. That's why I put you in this house. To take care of it for me. God loves us. And if we love him, he has put us in Nigeria by the grace of God to do what? To take care of Nigeria. To represent him here. To make sure Nigeria doesn't go to pieces. To make sure that Nigeria becomes a land that God wants it to be. May the Lord make it so in Jesus' name. God wants us to know that this love is the foundation of our faith. Love for God is the true foundation of any faith that we express. See, anyone who believes must believe that he is God and we diligently do what? Seek him. If you have faith, to prove that faith, then you must love God. You must love him supremely. And that is what happened to Abraham. In Genesis 22, we saw God coming to Abraham and telling him, Abraham, do you really love me? God, of course I love you. God said, okay, take your son, your only begotten, your only son. Go and sacrifice him. Abraham immediately obeyed God. And listen to what God now said in verse 12. And he said to him, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to harm him. For now I know that you fear God. I put there, you fear, you love and revere God. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Abraham is called the friend of God. He's the father of faith. He proved his faith by his love for God. Amen? And in loving God, he was willing to give his son. And you know what I discovered? Abraham did not lose his son. When we love God with all, we are not losers. In fact, we gain. That is the problem we face as the church in Nigeria. We think we don't need to give up anything. We don't need to sacrifice anything. We want to always have something to prove. But it's not always like that. Love is sacrificial. It is very sacrificial. That's what he calls agape love. The love that is constantly giving. Not expecting, but giving. Amen? God made a covenant with Abraham and made sure that he did not lose. God's divine plan and purpose for us, that we be blessed and be fruitful and replenish, multiply and replenish and subdue and have dominion in the earth, is anchored in our demonstrating our love for God. We can never fulfill God's divine purpose if we do not love him and obey him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20-31, he says, I show you a more excellent way. Loving God will never fail you in relating with him, and is the only way of growing in spiritual maturity and perfection, in godliness and holiness. Holiness not motivated by love is just hollowness and emptiness. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love never fails, in verse 8 to 10. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And now abide faith in God, hope in God, love for God. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Love for God. When we only see God as the object of our love, with the mindset of a baby, a child, we miss the point of God's first and greatest commandment. Psalm 131, I learned a great lesson from there. See what it says. Psalm 131 is a short psalm. He says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth forever. Love the Lord. When your heart has become weaned from the things of this world and this life, We are no more like babies who only see their mother as food. When they see mother, it's food. They see mother, they want something. So when you take them from their mother, they are restless. And many of us as Christians are restless. We always see God only as the source of what blessing. When we pray, we always talk to God as, God, give me, give me, give me. Do this for me, do this for me. We don't come to God with the heart of love and worship. Can you imagine the stress a woman or husband will go through if all your spouse sees about you is, sees you only as the source of food, source of money, source of what they can get? You know, that relationship will not last. But when you sit together, even when things are tough and you have each other, you are just quietly sitting and enjoying each other's company. God wants that kind of relationship with us. When he says love God, it means coming to God. Even when things are tough, even when things are rough, even when there is insecurity, but being just feeling that, God, I know I have you. You are my God. I thank you. How many times have you sat and told God, Lord, I love you. I love you. Father, I just want to tell you I love you. And that's all. You are not asking him, God, give me this, God, do bless me. No. Many of us have become like Jacob. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And sometimes you find when we are in the village, some people will be saying, Bazan yada, Bazan barkaba, seka bani abindanikeso. Say, why? So I have to tell them, no, your relationship with God is not based on what you get, but what he is, who he is. Amen? So how do I love God? So as we want to round up, God is the essence of love. He is the essence and source of love. So the only way to love God is first to ask him, Lord, I know you love me. Teach me how to love you. It is only from God we learn to love. And I thank God for Jesus. In John 15 verse 9, John makes a statement. He says, as my Father has loved me, what? So I have loved you. As my Father loved, so I love. In that statement, I have always learned two fathers. One, his heavenly Father. Two, his earthly father, Joseph, who was his foster father. As a human being, Jesus had to learn how to love as a human being. Can you imagine you have a son who is not your son? You know he's not my son. But you love him. That's what Joseph did. He taught him what it means to love. And he learned it. So we can only learn from God himself. And through Jesus, we learn how to love. We learn like a child from his parents. Then he tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he shows us how to learn to love God. He gives us what to do. See, now these commandments and statutes and judgments I've commanded to teach you. So, love must be taught. If we love God, we must be taught. You learn by being taught how to love God. This is what discipleship means. In the church, Jesus said, go, make disciples of all nations. Is that not so? Teach them how to love God. He says, teach your son, both your spiritual and your natural children. Teach them how to love. Your grandchildren. Thank God I'm now a grandfather. And I know the responsibility. We are living in a generation, we took care of our parents, we took care of our children. Now our children are demanding that we take care of the grandchildren. It's unfortunate, but I believe when we teach our children correctly, they will not put too much pressure on us when we are growing old. May the Lord help us. He says, all the days of your life, there is no time you stop learning to love God. It is a lifetime matter. You can't come and say, yes, I'm now 70, I'm 80 or anything. I think I've loved God enough. No, till you die, you are learning to love God. Abraham learned to love God even at an old age. Love is risky. That's what I found. If you are going to love God, it's a risk. You know, we learned here that is it automatic that when we obey God's command, we will get prosperity in the human sense, in the worldly sense? No. Joseph loved God. Very much loved God. In fact, he loved God. He felt the presence of God. But you know, he ended up in prison. And the Bible says he was prosperous. Not only was he in prison, he became a servant to prisoners. He was forgotten. When he thought, oh, somebody, he thought, look, please remember me. You know, I've done good to you. I've given you good interpretation of your dream. Don't forget, when you get out there, tell Pharaoh. The man went and forgot. When you are forgotten, it's a risk. Forgotten, your promotion is overlooked. In your business, you are using all the correct principles of business. You are doing correct, and yet things are not working. Doesn't mean you stop loving. You keep loving God. You learned, it's a lifelong thing. All the days of your life. And then it says, the Lord will prolong your life. You will have a long life in which to continue to love God. To continue to demonstrate to people around you that you love God. People must say, this man knows the Lord. This man knows God. If there is no testimony like that, please ask yourself, am I really living this life that shows I love God? Now, in conclusion, love is like the conjugal relationship between husband and wife. Within love, within marriage, if it is not consummated, it will not likely last. Am I wrong? I don't hear anything. No. So, in the same way, in our relationship with God, there must be a consummation. There must be a complete surrender, commitment of ourselves in a conjugal relationship with God. At the risk of being indecent, well, love, you know, even in marriage, sex is normal. A sexless marriage is abnormal. Even in old age. In the same way, if there is no conjugal relationship with God, in which there is intimacy with God, you spend time with him. You open up to him. You surrender to him. You allow God to strip you naked. You don't hide anything from him. No hidden agenda with God. You are bare You come to God as you are. I read a book. This man said he was quarreling with God. But he was a preacher. He said, look, when you grow as a child of God, if you have never quarreled with God, you have not started anything. Say he was quarreling with God. So he and God were quarreling. And the Lord gave him an assignment to go and preach. So he went to preach. He preached. And when he finished preaching, he gave the altar call. People responded. So he said he was shocked. Say, God, but what is happening? Me and you are quarreling. Why are you supporting? Why are you blessing my ministry? Say, God, say, yes, I bless you. You spoke the truth. You allowed me to use you. But as you are now, are you still not dry? Until we settle, there will be no peace. So you are open to God. You let God see you and you tell God how you feel. Look at David. David was, I remember one statement David made. I can't remember which particular psalm. But he said, when interpreted in our colloquial, I think it is the message. I said, God, why are you standing there like that with your hands in your pocket as if you cannot do anything? That is somebody talking to God in a way that looks to us. You know, some of you will say, Father, hallowed be your name. Thou art the Lord. You are the only Lord. Thou knowest, Father, thou art. That's the only way we know how to do. No. Talk to God normally. Talk to God as you talk with a friend. And you will discover that God will not knock your head. You can't love God and anything else. You must love God and Him alone. God is a jealous God. I've learned that. I cannot love my wife and love somebody else. You can't love God and share Him with something else. Solomon made that mistake. He loved God and he enjoyed God. But as he grew older, the Bible says, he loved many women. And he turned his heart away from the Lord. May the Lord not allow something to turn your heart from him. You can't love God and mammon. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:24. No one can love two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In conclusion, in many human relationships, people think and believe that one can do without the other. But in the God-human relationship, God can do without us. But the truth is, we cannot do anything without Him. But God has agreed and bound himself to us. But it's not because he cannot do without us. Amen? Abraham discovered this and he was willing to give up his son, whom he loved dearly, to maintain his friendship with God. And he didn't lose out. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as a human being, said this. By myself, I can do nothing. John chapter 5, 31, verse 30. And then in John 10, 30, he says, I and my Father are one. That statement carries the implication that, look, he and the Father are one. He cannot do anything apart from the Father. And that's the way we ought to live our lives. That I can't do without the Lord. I love God so much. The question is, can you do without God? When God gave the commandments to love Him with all our hearts, our soul, and mind, it is for our own good. To bring me to completeness, fullness, wholeness, to make me complete and make me in the image of and likeness of Jesus Christ, his Son. You want to be like Jesus? You want to be what God created and delivered you and saved you to be? Then we must agree with all our hearts to learn from Jesus to love him supremely. You turn to the Lord Jesus. He is the one who can teach you and me how to love God as we ought to. Outside of Jesus, we cannot love God. He is the demonstration. He says the express image of his character. Jesus will help you if you let him into your heart. If you allow him to come and take residence in your heart, fill you with himself. As he said, you cannot do anything apart from me. He will teach you how to love God correctly. He has been teaching me, and I don't regret it. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been helping me. He will help you too. This morning, I want to challenge us before we go into the Holy Communion, because there is something very important. But without this, the Holy Communion makes no sense. So I want to plead with us this morning. Is there anyone here this morning who is finding it difficult to love God? You are finding it difficult to obey that call. For you, it looks impossible. God looks so far away. God looks so impersonal. You can't relate with him. But this morning, I want to tell you from my own personal experience that God is very caring. He's willing to come to your level. He has come to our level. If you allow him, he will come and take his rightful place. Praise the Lord. So can we bow our heads to pray? And I want to challenge you to just say a simple prayer, saying, Lord Jesus, as we bow our heads, just talk to him. Say, Lord Jesus, you came to show us the way. You came to show us the love of God. And you came to show me the love of God. I want to experience for myself that love. Come into my heart. Take your rightful place. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. This is my prayer. If you prayed that prayer as we bow our heads, because there are people who will be willing to help you further after this service, could you just raise your right hand saying, I prayed that prayer. Just raise it where you are, and the ushers will come to you and give you a note to know how after the service you can be helped. Did you pray that prayer? Did you ask Jesus to come and take absolute control? And he is willing to help you. Father, thank you. Thank you because you are willing. Thank you because what you have said and commanded us to do is not something that has to be engineered or manufactured. You are willing to fill us with that love. Fill each one of your people with your love. In Jesus' name we prayed.